Blood and Barrels discuss cases that contain graphic content.
And Mike has a potty mouth.
So does Amy.
Nah.
Listener discretion is advised.
Again, this was actually our third recording we've done here.
Yes.
So we have to give a big thank you to them. Also, we have to give a big thank you to A Rustic Spoon for putting together another awesome menu. So if you haven't been out there yet, they've got food for the food truck. They put together the killer brunch menu. So definitely check that out. We've got things like the Bundy Brunch Burger. So, you know. And we're going to try that Morrow's Chicken and Waffle Sandwich. That sounds awesome. So
it came highly recommended.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to that. So, that being said, generally the way that we do things is we will sample beers from the area where, you know, crimes occur, and then at the same time we'll talk about the crime itself. So, so we're going to be trying six different beers. I think we're going to start off with two, and then we're going to move into the case. We'll kind of halfway mark. We'll try a couple more, and then we'll end with a couple, and we'll go from there. So, you want to start off with the Year Zero?
Sure.
Perfect.
You want me to tell you about it?
Yeah, let's get a description of that.
Okay, so the Year Zero just won bronze on March 4th for Best in Florida. And it's the Imperial Stout that's brewed with local coffee beans, vanilla, and has anchovies, chipotle, and the word I can't say, peppers.
I'm going to mess it up, too. Garillo? Garillo peppers? No, we don't know how to say it. You'd think we would know how to say it.
Guajillo.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
You'd think, you know, from Texas, you know, we eat black chili. You'd think we know how to say that. Do I? Yeah.
Amy got it.
All right. So we're going to start off with that one. And I will let you.
Oh, I'm going to try first?
I'm going to let you get the first sample.
Okay.
Oh, I like that. Yeah, you can definitely get the coffee notes in there for sure. It's a really, really good.
The peppers,
The
peppers give a nice,
flavor.
Yeah.
Yeah. Trying to be more sophisticated than that.
Yeah, we don't want to try too hard. We might hurt ourselves. So.
That's true.
I had to get another sip of that one. That's really, really good.
Because you know I'm going to drink it all. Fair enough.
Yeah, the pepper, I'm sorry, not pepper, but the coffee comes through like really, really nicely. So.
If you haven't tried this one, try it. It's really good.
Definitely. Now, the next one we're going to try is called Booty Juice. And I had to ask questions about this because this is a, cross. So I'm going to give you the description real quick.
Yeah, you stole the paper from me.
Yeah, so this is a springtime crawfish stout. I had to ask what a crawfish stout was because I've never had one before. And of course, Josh was like,
it's just like an oyster stout.
I've never had an oyster stout. So they kind of explained it to us. It's really cool. They actually boil the crawfish in it, right? Yeah, so we actually got to try this one last night. It's really good, but we'll go ahead and try it again.
We don't get a lot of crawfish or oyster beers in Texas.
We don't get a lot of good seafood in Texas. Like, when we get lobster, it's like a little teeny little tail, and they charge you way too much for it, so. Yeah, see, I really, really like that one. You get some of the flavor, the spices from the crawfish, and then it's not like super, super, like, I mean, it doesn't have like a really, what's the word I'm looking for?
For those that are worried, it doesn't taste like you're drinking crawfish.
It does not taste like you're drinking crawfish, but yeah, I really, really like that one. So.
It's very good. It's very different, very unique.
Yeah, definitely. So, I think we've got our beer.
You know, I can't reach the thing.
Just put it on the table and it'll be okay. So we've got our beer. Do we have any announcements or anything like that? I don't think we do.
I mean, normally we tell people to follow us on all the things.
So I think we're just going to jump right into the case. Today we are doing the ninja murders of Bird and Melanie Billings. And this did happen locally. It actually happened in Buell. I screwed it up last time, too. How do you say Beulah? Beulah.
Beulah.
So that's a suburb of Pensacola for those of you watching at home and don't know.
Actually, are all of y'all here from Pensacola? We didn't ask that.
Yeah, we usually do. She's like,
maybe kind of sort of.
I guess the better question is anybody not from Florida? Oh, yeah, not from here. Okay, we got a few. Okay.
Where are y'all from?
Detroit.
Maryland.
That's what Maryland does.
Maryland may be the furthest. Right?
Massachusetts.
Massachusetts, that's further.
All right.
Cool.
So we've got some people who've definitely come away to come to town.
They have more farther than us.
Yeah, we've had a 10-hour drive. That wasn't too bad. So this takes place in Beulah, Florida. Like I said, suburb of Pensacola. And in 2009, when all of this occurred, his name is Bird Billings, but he actually went by Bud. I'll be honest, if my name was Bird, I probably would too.
You stole the word. I was going to say, I think Bud is better than Bird.
Yeah. So Bud was 66, and his wife Melanie was 43 years old. And before moving to Pensacola, Bud spent some time in both Mississippi and Tennessee. And in 1976, he had like a boat company that wound up getting dissolved in the 80s. And
what kind of boat company?
I didn't look. I don't know if it was like speedboat. I have no idea. So he had the boat company, and then he kind of moved on from that, and he owned a car dealership in Mississippi. And so he was pretty relatively successful businessman.
He was kind of a Renaissance man.
I guess. I mean, boats, cars, I guess it's kind of the same.
Okay. No, I don't repair those things.
Well, it wasn't repairing them. It was selling them.
Whatever.
So. Yeah.
I feel like it'd be easier to sell a car than a boat. I don't know.
I guess it depends on where you live.
True.
I feel like around here, it'd probably be pretty easy to sell a boat. I could be wrong.
Maybe.
Yeah. So, Melanie loved to help people, and she spent her time doing things like feeding the homeless. So she was really involved in, like, the community and helping, and in her spare time, she liked to watch shows like CSI and Sopranos, which I'm down with. And then she also enjoyed spending time on eBay and MySpace.
Oh my gosh, MySpace.
I love MySpace. I wish they would bring back MySpace the way it was. Because the new MySpace sucks. She's like, yes, thank you, please.
MySpace was better than Facebook, I'm going to say it.
Definitely.
And you had a campaign for a minute to bring MySpace back.
I did. I was kind of drunk one night, and I spent 2 hours trying to hack into my old MySpace, so I couldn't remember my password, and I finally got in, and I was like, yes, I'm bringing it back. It was totally different. All my stuff was gone, and I was like, you know what? Screw it. I gave up. I sent one message. I was like, is there anybody in here? And I never got a reply. Everybody was gone. We're not a MySpace podcast. So
we do miss it.
We do miss it, for sure. So Melanie described her children as her heroes and Bud as her knight in shining armor. And it said that the couple, their first date was on Christmas Eve of 1990. And they've been married for about 16 years in 2009 when everything took place.
Yeah.
And again, you know, she's kind of involved in the community. He's a businessman in the community, so they were pretty well known and considered to be good moral people.
Has anybody heard of them that is from here? No.
Does anybody actually know them? Because every time we come here, somebody's like, "Oh, I knew those people."
Yeah.
I knew somebody, you know. No. Okay. Nobody.
Well, yeah. So we do have to call this out. What's her name again? Alyssa. The bartender, the first one we did was Blue Moon, and she knew that guy.
And took his dog.
Yeah, and adopted him dollars when he was in jail.
She didn't steal it. She took him after he got arrested.
Yeah, adopted.
Adopted, yeah, that's
good. Okay, better word.
She didn't like to grab it and run off.
We were talking to her last night, and she was like, you should do the poor numbers. And I'm like, oh, you did that one.
So in 1990, Bud and actually his second wife, so I'm going to jump back for a minute, they wanted to adopt a baby, and they actually found a young pregnant girl that was willing to basically give them their baby, or her baby when it was born.
Okay.
So since this was done outside of the adoption agency, the girl listed Bud as her father.
Weird.
Yeah, it's a little weird, but I mean, I guess that's how they were trying to work around it. Unfortunately, this is a crime, and so the two were busted, and they were charged, and they pled no contest to altering birth records and trying to adopt a baby for $2,100, which I thought was kind of weird.
I mean, it's kind of sad, though, because they wanted the kid, and
yeah,
they didn't go through the proper channels, but because I was adopted, I know the channels can be hard to go through.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, but beyond this one thing, I mean, he had a pretty clean record. There was no, you know.
What was the, he was charged with it. What was the, I can't think of the word.
Oh, what happened?
Yeah.
So they did actually get, they did get a 2-year probation, and it actually got dropped to 1 year after about a year. So yeah, they actually didn't, they got pretty light.
Okay.
Just a little bit of probation. So his ex-wife wouldn't comment on any of this, but she did say that the situation got blown out of proportion, and she did also wish that Bud had dealt with some shady characters, so yeah, I'm not real sure how that kind of worked out. But
I'm guessing probably they were interviewing her after the murders.
And kind of threw that in as well.
Yeah, and like, hey, maybe, I don't know, I'm just guessing.
Yeah. So at the time of, or so really after that, they were divorced, and Bud at that time was working as a consultant for a strip club, which however, Bud was described as an extremely professional businessman, and people who knew him said that it didn't matter what the business was that he was running, basically he ran them all the same. So nothing, everybody's saying really there was nothing going on.
So wait, my previous comment is true. He was a Renaissance man. You can't say that selling a car or a boat is the same as running a strip club. Those are completely opposite.
I mean, that's a valid point. So yeah, we're going to go with that, yeah. I will say he did wind up owning another used car dealership called Pushu Motors, and also owned Worldco Financial Services. So I mean, he was doing a lot of stuff, and he was doing really, really well for himself.
Renaissance man.
We'll go with that.
Just saying, I'm right.
So another thing that Bud and Melody were very well known for was taking, or really adopting, special needs children. They adopted 10 children together.
Wow.
Holy crap, that's a lot of kids.
You know, we had a lot of...
I thought 4 was a lot, but 10 is... Well, and they didn't just have 10, that's how many they adopted, because they actually had kids before they got together from their previous marriages.
So how many kids did they have?
So they had like 16, actually.
That's a lot of kids.
I don't know how you would do that, but yeah, they each had 2 biological children from their previous marriages, and then Bud had 2 adopted sons as well, so.
I think, you sure they didn't like hide in their bedroom all the time, away from all these kids?
They didn't hide in their bedroom?
I'm asking, are you sure they didn't hide in the bedroom? That's a lot of kids.
No, and I'll talk a little bit about that in a minute, but no, they were really, truly involved, and
okay,
they took care of them.
Fair enough.
So Melanie had Ashley and Nikki, when she was like 17 for the first and 19 for the second.
She was really young.
Yeah. But unfortunately, Nikki wound up getting diagnosed with both cerebral palsy, epilepsy, and autism. And that actually happened after she got spinal meningitis. So she was having a pretty bad run there for a minute. And this is when Melanie's first marriage basically ended.
So Nikki's daddy couldn't handle all of it?
No, he basically went, this is too much, and he took off. So, yeah. So despite all this, Ashley remembers her mom being a really, really good mom who, you know, supported both of the girls and took care of them. But I think she actually worked two jobs there. It's time for her to take care of everybody. So at 24, Melanie discovered that she couldn't have kids anymore. So, you know, they would go on to adopt a ton of kids. So I'm going to give you kind of a list of some of the kids here. We've got Adriana, Jacob, Matthew, Ricky, Tori, Nicholas, Katie, Bailey, Ethan, and Emma. Six of these kids had Down syndrome, and the others came from abusive families.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, so, and again, they had to send most of these kids to a school for children with disabilities or special needs. And so, you know, they went to Escambia Westgate.
Did we say that right?
Did we get that right? And so, you know, but they were really involved in the school. Again, they wanted to be a part, they wanted to help. And so, like, for instance, one time some of the kids didn't have money for yearbooks, so they wound up buying everybody yearbooks. They were driving by and they saw that some of the kids that were in wheelchairs were just sitting out there getting rained on, so they donated umbrellas and large umbrellas so that, you know, the kids could be cared for.
Okay, so I like these people.
Yeah, I mean, they were really good people who really cared and had a passion for helping children. Unfortunately, this did come with a little bit of tragedy. Bailey was three. A Hurricane Ivan had come through, and it had messed up their hot water heater, and he stuck in the bathroom and got scalded, and it wound up his injury and wound up killing him.
Oh, man. Was Ivan a big hurricane? Was anybody here for Ivan?
No.
Was it big?
Okay, so that was apparently a bad one. So, yeah, I can say it's their home has suffered some damage from that. And then Nikki, Melanie's daughter, who had all the problems, she actually wound up passing away as well. So, yeah. And they said instead of bringing flowers, they said make a donation to the school. So, you know, they wanted to keep that up. Take a sip here.
You're not allowed to.
This is a drinking and true crime podcast. So we're actually going to take a break and we're going to try some two more beers and then we're going to actually jump into the crime. So that's kind of the background on the family and we're about to jump into the crime.
Well, I got to finish this one first.
Okay, you do that. All right. So this one we're going to do is called Sawyer. You grab that one right there? So they were telling me about this one earlier, and this is the one that I've been really, really wanting to try. This one sounds awesome. So this is a s'mores imperial brown brewed with s'mores ingredients, cocoa, graham crackers, and marshmallows.
Hey, what kind of graham crackers did you use, Josh? Regular or cinnamon? Okay, I was just curious. I smelled
a little bit of cinnamon, so I was wondering. Oh, I was
like,
you put
cinnamon? There's a hint. There's a hint. Okay, I was just wondering. I was wondering if my nose was ready.
Yeah.
You want to try this
one? Sure, I'll try this one. Yeah, that's really good. That's really good. Yeah, that's really good. But yeah, I pick up just a little bit of that as well.
All right. 5 stars. I like this one.
Yeah.
I can't say much more about it. It's really good. Try this one too. Do you want some more before I drink all of that one?
Well, we still have 3 ounces of the dozen. And this is actually probably still one of my favorite beers that they make here. This one has won 2 medals,
yes.
two silver medals, and actually it just won another one on the 4th, right?
Yeah, you know, March 4th with the...
Yeah, so Year Zero won the bronze at that time, and this one won the silver. So I love this beer. I'm just going to grab it and go.
It's pretty damn good.
Actually, I'm going to let you, because I forgot to give. I got too busy talking about the other stuff. I didn't give
the description,
so... The Gozen is a tart cherry sour ale brewed with Lots of more. You're going to be hard work today, Josh. Lots of more. What? Montmorency cherries. Okay. You just had to get the fancy cherries, didn't you?
They're Burmese cherries. It's Burmese cherries.
It's really, really good.
You could have just skipped that word. You know?
No, that was too bad. I had to get it. Yeah. I love this. That is definitely one of my favorites. You want me to keep this one? You're on the s'mores, huh?
Yeah, I love that one too. But...
Yeah,
they'll have that one.
Yeah, the s'mores is good, but that's still my favorite.
Oh, it's delicious.
Yeah. All right, so we've tried our next two beers, and we're going to jump into the case. So, on or around July 9th of 2009.
Hey.
What?
That's my birthday.
It is your birthday.
You didn't even realize that when you were taking a little
bowl. Okay. So, you know I have problems with your birthday. I always thought it was June 6th. Well, yeah, for years I thought it was June 6th, so anytime I have to remember your birthday, I have to, like, add a month and then flip the 6 upside down, and that's how I figure out your birthday.
You're being really weird.
It takes an equation. It's difficult, so.
Really weird.
Yeah, so on around July 9th of 2009, the building's home was broken into. 5 men dressed in combat boots and what was described as ninja garb entered the home.
Ninjas.
We have ninjas.
Okay.
So these 5 ninjas, quote unquote.
We have ninjas in quotes.
In quotes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, we'll get to it, but they were dressed like ninjas. So they did enter the home, and when they did, they shot Bud in the leg in front of one of his children, who just was standing there.
Well, that's what
he
did.
Yeah. Then they dragged him into the bedroom where Melanie was, and the two were murdered execution style. The case made international news, and the police were actually receiving calls from, like, France and Germany asking for information on the case.
Really?
I'm assuming it was because there were ninjas involved. I cannot say that for sure, but that would be my assumption.
But nobody here is here today.
I guess not. Do people around here not like ninjas? No? No answers. Okay. He's like, no, we don't like ninjas. Okay.
Ninjas are not ninjas. Okay, got it.
So, no, do not bring your ninjas to...
No, I shouldn't have said yes. So I should have been like, no. Okay.
He's like, you got to leave now.
Okay, my bad.
So they were both killed executions. Yeah, okay, we did that. So their bodies were actually discovered on the 9th. 9 of the kids were at home at the time of the murders. Luckily, none of them were harmed.
Well, thank God.
But their ages ranged between like 4 and 11. So they were all really, really young.
Yeah.
Actually, 3 of the children might have been countering the shooters during the break-in, but again, none of them were harmed. They weren't any of the kids. So. Adriana was one of the kids I mentioned before.
Yeah, the one I like that name.
Oh, yeah, she was the very first one.
Yeah,
was,
I like that name.
She actually managed to escape the house and run to their neighbor's house. It was actually a nurse, April Spencer, that was a friend of the family.
Okay.
And she showed up there about like 7:30 p.m.
See, that's like relatively early then when this happened.
Yeah, you know, we'll get to it, but it was like daytime. So, the whole point of dressing as a ninja, you'd think, would give you cover of night, right? Like, clothes, sink of the night. No, it was like daytime, so.
So it's dressed in yellow.
Oh, green maybe. I have no idea. Not yet.
Wait, sand color, because we're in woods color.
I think they had grass in their yard.
Oh, fair enough. Okay.
It wasn't on the beach.
So
she made it over to the neighbor's house. And then basically Adriana brought her back over to the house. And when she entered the home, she went through, or no, I'm sorry, she left Adriana at the house.
Okay, I was like, why would she take the kid back?
Yeah, so Adriana, some of the kids had speech problems and couldn't speak, or they spoke with sign language or whatever it was. She could actually speak, so she told her, like, hey, my parents have been shot. So she went over and basically went to go check it out. She goes inside and she does find, well, really she finds one of the kids, which was right there. 10-year-old Jake. So 10-year-old Jake had Down syndrome, and he was also mute.
Oh, no.
And he's freaking out, like, but he can't really speak, so he's, like, making noise. So he basically takes her over to the bedroom, and that's where she discovers Bud and Melody both dead in the bathroom. On the bedroom floor.
Can you imagine being that woman?
Yeah. No. I can't imagine walking into, I mean, and we'll get into what exactly happened, but no. So, yeah. So she goes in. From there, she just grabs Jake and runs out of the house because she doesn't know, like, where the other kids are. She doesn't know if there's still people in the house.
Yeah.
So she grabs Jake. She runs across the street back to her house, and she calls the police. Funnily enough, I heard the 911 call, and she said she was going to go back.
Because she knew there were other kids there.
She did, and she talked about that. I don't know that she actually did or not. And
I don't know, I would assume the police would advise her not to.
Yeah.
You don't know where the gunman is.
Exactly. So, but basically the police did respond and come to the home, and they started looking for the other children immediately.
Good.
And they basically found them hiding all over the house, including, like, in cabinets. So, you know, when you're little, you can get in those little hiding holes. So, I mean, it's good that they were able to hide.
I mean, our daughter gets into the washing machine all the time.
I keep telling her not to do that. So Jake was interviewed by a specialist and implied that his father had tried to fight back and grab the intruder's shirt, but it didn't work.
So wait, if he was
moved
out of it, how did he leave? Was he one of the ones that tried to get into sign language?
Yes, so he could actually sign, but again, when she came in the house, he's freaking out, so he's like, not.
Right. But by the time they interview him with the specialist.
Yes. Yeah, that's a good question. Yeah, so yeah, he could sign and did.
Okay.
I liked it. Say that.
So the house they lived in at the time was basically a mansion. It was like $700,000 back in like the 90s.
Is that a lot for here?
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. I mean, it had 9 bedrooms.
Oh.
Yeah, so, you know, the kids were kind of all over.
Wait, Josh is climbing up.
Higher?
No, that's high. That's real high? Okay.
For a 9-bedroom house?
At the time, that was high. Okay.
Gotcha, okay. Yeah, so they did have a big home. But again, they had it so that they could have, because they had so many kids.
I mean, I feel like we need 9 bedrooms, and we only have 3 of them.
I don't know, it seems like more rooms to clean, just being honest. So, So basically, the men that broke into the couple's house, as I said before, were dressed as ninjas, it was daytime, and they stole numerous items, including a small safe that was about the size of a microwave.
Okay.
The safe did include some jewelry, but it was mostly like for sentimental, maybe a grandmother's ring, nothing real expensive. And then it had just documents and like some of the kids' prescriptions in it. But there was another, before I jump into that, they actually did steal Bud's briefcase too, because for whatever reason there was a rumor that Bud would just walk around like, you know, $100,000 in the briefcase.
Like, who knows
that? Dreamer. Yeah,
I don't know. Who knows that?
No, not at all. But there was a second safe in the house that did contain a large quantity of money, and the men took the wrong damn safe is what happened. So somehow they knew that there was money in a safe in the house, and they just took the wrong damn safe.
So they went there to steal money, and instead they stole prescriptions.
And documents. I mean, there's nothing that would be about it.
Okay. I mean, sounds like a successful robbery.
Yeah. So basically, they broke in, they murdered 2 people, and then absolutely nothing for it.
That's ridiculous.
Absolutely. So, Bud had been shot 3 times in the head and once in the leg. We talked about he was shot in the leg first.
Yeah.
Melanie had been shot twice in the head and twice in the chest. So
seems like a lot.
It does, but some reports said that the shots had like military style precision.
So then why did they need to do it multiple times? It was military precision.
That's a valid point, and I do not know. But that's a good question.
But you're supposed to know.
Touche. Yeah. So she's getting back at me for like early episodes.
Yeah.
So they did recover 9mm casings at the scene. And actually, a couple had a surveillance system in their house, and they had a bunch of cameras. Like, I think all of the kids' rooms had cameras so that they could keep an eye on them because they had special needs. The outside had cameras, so.
Well, that was pretty rare in 2009, right?
Yeah, but from what I saw, it looked like it was like kind of legit. It was not like your like Ring doorbell type thing. Like, it was a legit, you know, kind of surveillance system that they have set up.
What's wrong with the Ring doorbell? That's what I'm saying about.
There is nothing wrong with it, but it was just a more, you know, probably nicer setup.
But did they mess with people at the front door from states away like you can?
No, that technology did not that I'm aware of. So,
like when you turn the Ring doorbell on from another city, you just hear me.
Yeah, I was trying to scare my mom. Yeah. Let's turn on a Roomba and mess with the Ring doorbell and all that stuff. So basically, yeah, they had cameras all over the place, and because of this, because of these videos, the police were able to determine that the gunman had arrived in a 15-passenger maroon van, and the suspects didn't realize that they were being recorded. I think they knew the cameras were there, but one of the guys was, I guess, repulsive, disarmed, or disabled the camera system and didn't. I guess, I don't know, but he did not do his job, so everything was caught on video.
I'm guessing these videos helped a lot.
Yeah, yeah, well, I mean, so before this, all they had really were the bullet casings, and they had the kind of the eyewitness accounts of kids who were having difficulties communicating in some cases exactly what happened.
Makes them not reliable witnesses.
Yeah, and so actually one girl did, that they interviewed, did actually say that they showed up in a red vehicle that she said was an SUV, or they thought out of her that it was an SUV. The cops are actually like, she was trying to tell us, they just were having a hard time understanding
what she was saying.
She knew what she was talking about, but they just couldn't, they're having difficulties there. So they had the red van, and then there was also a gold Ford Explorer. I mean, it was what it was.
Well, whatever, I don't like gold cars, I'm just going to throw that out there.
So they, in the surveillance video, it showed that basically the two vehicles showed up, the two drivers stayed in the car, and everybody else exited the vehicle. It's believed that two men entered the home through the laundry room, and the other three used the front door, which I saw one of the police talking, like, this is police tactics. You enter from two different locations, right?
Right.
So again, it's looking a little weird, right?
Well, it throws them off if you're entering from all over the place, right?
But this whole thing, I don't think I talked about it in a minute, but this whole thing went down in 4 minutes. They were in the house, entered from two directions, shot him, drug him in the room, murdered both of them, found the safe, got out, and were gone in 4 minutes.
Wow.
So, I mean, it all went very quickly.
I hate to say it, but that's kind of impressive. 4 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely quick, and it does make you wonder. I mean, they're talking military precision, like this quick entry, who is it? Because it seems not like your normal, just random burglar. Right?
Yeah, absolutely right.
So, in another room, you can see one of the girls get out of bed, and as the gunmen are entering the home, and she basically looks out the window, and then she, like, dives back in her bed, like, you know, covers up and tries to, like, do the hiding, because, you know, she's hiding in her room.
Smart.
So, like I said, despite the recording, it took about 4 minutes. Initially, because of the disguises, police could not identify the men on the tape. So they my dude back here really dislikes ninjas. Yeah, no ninjas, alright.
Hey, have you had a
run-in
with a ninja?
Now that all makes sense. She's like, he has? Weird.
You might have to come tell us your story.
After this, we're going to have a talk, dude. Okay. So they actually run calling the FBI in to assist. and the FBI Video Enhancement Unit actually tried to get a better quality look at the masked men. And all in all, they actually wound up involving the police, the FBI, and the DEA trying to resolve all this. So the police, again, didn't have any real evidence, so... But what they did have was this picture of the van from the surveillance video. So they actually ran a campaign with the media and got it out everywhere.
Okay.
And, yeah, and actually, really, really quickly, they got some information back about it. They were actually able to trace the van to a home in the area, and it was identified. The person who lived there was Leonard Patrick. Gonzalez Sr. So at this point, he's kind of a possible suspect.
Sure.
Yep. So they brought him in for questioning, and pretty quickly, and he just folded and just started talking. And then he was just basically like, as long as I don't, if you promise me I won't die, I'll just tell you everything.
Oh.
And
well, there you go.
Yeah, and so he starts basically spilling his guts. He gave him the names of the other seven who were involved.
Seven?
So,
well, you said that.
Well,
I just forgot there were a lot of people.
So it will be seven more total. It actually makes six more plus seven who were involved in the actual crime.
Seven.
But then, So eventually, eight people were charged for their participation during. Or after the murders, basically. So there was one person who was involved after the fact.
That's a lot of people that killed two people.
It really, really is. So Leonard Patrick Gonzalez Jr., which if you recognize the name, is this guy's son. So he totally flipped on his son, like, instantly.
I mean, that's a really good parent right there.
I guess so. So he was 35 at the time, and he... would actually go on and be convicted of two murders and home invasion with a deadly weapon. And he received two death sentences and a life sentence. So he was actually the mastermind of the whole thing. And it would have also said that he provided the other men with the black clothing and the weapons and the attack.
He was the top ninja.
He was the top ninja. And I actually saw they caught him on the Walmart up the road. They just went to their local Walmart and bought some stuff. So they actually caught him and like three of the other guys on camera at the Walmart buying like the combat boots and stuff like that. So
I mean, Walmart always helps people out.
Yeah. So I'm kind of thinking the whole ninja, thing was his thing. He was actually, I guess he was described as a failed self-defense instructor in the Pennsylvania area. You were laughing, that's all right. Why he was described as failed, I'm not
sure. He got big old smile on his face. Yeah. The ninja
failed. Failed ninjas. I will say, despite this, he did work for a nonprofit organization called Project Fight Back. I don't know if anybody's ever heard of that, but that was kind of in the area.
I'm guessing it's probably not still around.
Not now.
Yeah.
So he taught self-defense to children, but all in all, it didn't really matter. He committed these crimes, and he was found guilty. So, Donnie Stallworth was also convicted of two murders and home invasion. He received two consecutive life sentences and a lengthy prison sentence for home invasion, giving him basically a permanent life sentence.
So I'm assuming he didn't get the death penalty because he wasn't a mastermind.
I'm assuming that, and he probably wasn't a trigger man.
Well, isn't Florida like Texas where you all kill people?
Or kill people. Yeah, he's like, that.
He's like,
no,
I don't kill people.
Josh, he should know this. He was not, and I saw him. He's like, yep.
He's
like, yes, for sure.
We say in Texas, don't kill somebody because we'll kill you back.
Yeah, that's how we do it in Texas, for sure. He did not get that, but he will be... basically,
He's never getting out.
He's getting out.
Yeah.
Wayne Coldiron was convicted of two murders and home invasion and received two consecutive life sentences and a lengthy prison sentence for home invasion as well.
So he got the same thing as the other guy?
Pretty much, but the funny thing about this guy is he actually, now I forgot where it was because I didn't write it down, but he had already served a prison sentence for second degree murder in another state.
Obviously, that doesn't have the death penalty because he got out.
Yeah, well, the second degree murder, he got out, and then now he is involved in this. So I'm going to try to get through these pretty quick. Frederick Thornton, he was around 20 years old, and he made a plea agreement and agreed to testify against the others. So he was charged with second degree murder and home invasion with a weapon, and he received two concurrent 40-year sentences for murder and was charged with two concurrent... I read the same one. So yes, basically, you got a 22-year sentence for robbery. So, and then you've got Raheem Warrens, also took another plea deal. He received the same charges as Frederick and got about 24 years. And then we've got Gary Sumner. He was the getaway driver. And we'll get to the second. So he was one of the getaway drivers, and he made all these.
There were two cars.
Two cars, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So he received second degree murder charge and home invasion, and he got a 20-year sentence. Leonard Patrick Gonzalez Sr., so the dad, he was the other getaway driver, and I actually saw an interview, the interrogation tape.
Yeah.
And he was like, there was not supposed to be a murder. He's like, I'm sitting in the car, and I just hear, blah, blah, blah. And he goes, oh, shit. And he's like, for sure.
Yeah.
So I think that's probably partially why he flipped, because it was supposed to be a simple robbery, not a murder. And he knew that immediately they were screwed.
Well, yeah. I mean, robbery is wrong, but you shouldn't just start killing people when you have a teammate and not let them know that that's what's happening.
Yeah, right. That was an easily controllable situation.
Yeah,
so.
Right.
Anyway, he got the same as Gary, but he only got 17 and a half years. And they're all his charges will run concurrently. And I think it's because he was the first person to talk.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Now, something we haven't talked about is Cameron Wiggins. She was 47 when she was arrested, and she was charged with two counts of accessory after the fact. And received 28 years. So they actually found the safe. Like in her backyard. They try to like put some bricks on it to cover it up.
What kind of paint with bricks?
I guess they weren't very creative. Like,
no.
They did. But I don't get weird in her involvement is that, from my understanding, it looked like her and her husband were pretty well to do. Like when they were caught, they were on their yacht. Up the way, like getting it worked on. So like, I know she was the landlord for Junior.
Okay.
And so they were basically friends, but beyond that, I don't really understand why, if she had money, she would have gotten involved.
Yeah, that's weird.
So yeah, that was kind of a weird thing. So basically that was kind of, the couple was buried only 8 days after the murders on July 17th. It was pretty quick. And at their funeral, Melanie's brother was quoted as saying, "Their lives centered around children, their family, and each other. They loved deeply and unconditionally. They embraced the complexity of raising children with special needs, and they were their advocates. They gave their children a joyous childhood and much needed voice." So, also, at the funeral, several of the younger children released balloons with messages for their parents.
Oh, that's kind of sweet. Yeah, that's sweet.
Ashley Markham, who was 26 and married at the time of her mother's death, was also determined to keep her adoptive siblings together. And so her husband actually moved into the home and continued raising her at 26. They took a bunch of kids. Yeah, a lot of kids. They moved in. And they successfully continued their parents' program. So they started a charity golf tournament to help raise money for autism in Pensacola and the Westgate School. I don't have any information on the tournament, unfortunately. I wish I did, but But that is the case. So hopefully you enjoyed, except for my new name, just hates So yeah, definitely want to thank you guys for joining us. We got a couple more beers to try, so I'm going to get the paper here. There we go. Give that to you. The next one we're going to try is the 10 Grapes.
We have this one.
Do we have this one?
We have this one. This is their IPA. Oh, I got the easy words. Brewed with Galaxy and Citra hops.
Yeah, you did. I got the heart of the same cherry, so.
I mean, you're the one that stole the paper from me, so.
Yeah, that's true. My fault. My bad. You want pepper?
Let's see if my palate has matured, Josh. We're going to see if I've matured.
So if anybody's ever heard the show, Amy has been on this long journey to start to like IPAs.
Getting there. Close.
Better,
yep.
So we're going to go with me. I'm going to hand this one to you.
Which one is going to be today? Oh, this is Shandy.
See, I love this beer. I'm going to drink this one. You can have that one. I love that beer. So this one, last one is...
Shandy.
Oh, Future Days, yes.
Yeah,
right.
It's Shandy. It just came out yesterday.
I like that.
Right? So this one is a tropical shandy brewed with local ginger soda and Inner Republic wheat ale.
Excellent. I can have the last one. You go for it. I don't know. You got it.
And I love that one. It's really, really good.
Yeah, this one's so refreshing. Like, it is super, like, just, it's orange, it's bright, it's really, really good. So I love this one. This came out last night, or yesterday. Yeah, so this one's brand new, so y'all should definitely try that one.
I mean, we love them all, except I'm learning to love Tim.
She's working on it.
That was better than last time, right, though? I'm learning. I'll get there.
Well, again, we want to thank you all for coming out today to Inner Republic. We hope you enjoyed it. If you haven't gotten any food yet, go check out a Rustic Spoon outside and get you some food from the Killer Brunch menu.
Yes.
Also, again, we are a Blood and Barrels podcast. You can find us on pretty much anything. Spotify, Apple Podcasts, all the things. Yeah. So
Instagram,
yeah.
Kind of Facebook-ish.
Not Twitter.
My face, yeah.
So before we go, I have to tell you this, because you were with me on the MySpace thing. So there was a guy, or is a guy, he recreated MySpace like a few years back, but it called it like Face Friends or something, like, I don't remember. It's live out there. It's got a fair amount of people. Yeah, but you can actually go ahead and like drop, put the HTML and CSS in there, make it look all, you can do that still. So you should Google it and find it and make a profile. I'll probably do the same. So, but that being said, we want to thank you all again for the Blood and Barrels podcast. We'll check you later.
Thank you for joining us here at Blood and Barrels. You can follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Blood and Barrels. You can also follow us on Twitter at Blood Barrels Pod.
Follow us on all the things.
You can also listen to Blood and Barrels on Apple Podcast, Spotify, Google Podcast, Stitcher, or most anywhere where you enjoy your podcast.
If you enjoy listening, please head over to Apple Podcast and rate, review, and subscribe. For more information about the show, you can check us out at bloodandbarrels.com.
If you want to help support the show and become a part of the Blood and Barrels family, you can join us on Patreon and get access to additional content. Thank you, and we'll see you next time.